Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
I am doing question mark, Millennial Ben. Presented by Brakes Plus. Let's see if I can find a good one here. Nobody liked my Shatner. I guess I wasn't supposed to go over the top trying to do Shatner? Maybe I should have tried to do more Shatner. But Shatner wasn't going full Shatner in the Christmas album. He was just...
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll try it again with me trying to go full Shatner.
Yeah. I think that makes sense.
Okay. You just keep doing Zeus. Your Zeus.
I started the last verse. I almost sang a little Zeus.
You did start to sing Zeus, which just blew my mind.
Yeah, I can Zeus. I can't sing normally, but when I get into Zeus character, yeah, then I can just, sing.
Oh, it's
I can belt it out.
You're like Josh Groban, you know, all of a sudden. All right, let's see here. I'm looking for a good one. You guys didn't bring out the good questions today, huh? Mark, can you clarify the difference between TV copy and film copy?
Yeah, TV copy is what you see on TV.
Well, no. What, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, what do you see more of when you look at the film?
Well, what do I see more of?
What's the difference between what you see on the film copy and a TV copy?
Okay, so the film, there's two views of the film. There's the all 22 aspect, so you see all 22 guys on the field. You see what formation they're in. You can see what coverage they're in. Are they in two high? Are they in single high? Are they in quarters? Are they in quarter half? You can see what they're in cover one. You can see how they rotate safeties. Do they buzz the field safety, or do they buzz the boundary safety? Like who do they bring into the formation? You can just see everything. Every player throughout the film remains on the film. You don't ever get to see that in TV copy. You don't ever get to see where the safeties end up. They go off the screen. So, you know, everybody tries to disguise to some degree. So you may see something at the beginning of the snap of TV copy, then they follow the ball on TV, right? And then all of a sudden that guy disappears. Well, they could be in something completely different, or they usually are. The pre-snap versus post-snap. Post-snap always changes because they're trying to confuse quarterbacks. They're trying to give you something different than what you see initially. So you can see that on the coach's film. You can't see that on TV copy. And then you get a uptight view of the line of scrimmage from the end zone. So you get a tackle-to-tackle box or tight-end-to-tight-end box of the front seven and what exactly they're doing. What front are they in? You know, when you see it from the TV side and you're looking down the line of scrimmage, it's hard to tell what front they're in. What shades there? Is the guy a two technique? Is he a two-eye technique? Is he a three technique? Is he where is he lined up? It's hard to see that, right? But then all of a sudden they flip around the same exact play from the end zone copy. What we used to watch is offensive and defensive linemen. That's all you watch. You didn't watch the all 22 because you didn't care what the receivers were doing. Out there in the water, nobody gives a rip. Those guys aren't doing anything but playing patty cake anyhow. So I want to see what's going on in the trenches. So now I get to watch each play. It's two separate plays, or it's the identical play, but from two different looks. One, the all 22, which you see everything. And then the end zone copy, which is tight from tight end to tight end tackle box.
And I think, could you actually probably put yourself in the shoes of, who was calling the game the other day? Was it Trent Green? Was it Green?
I don't know. I don't.
I think it was, anyway, do you think he was notifying guys in the truck saying, hey, look, we need more end zone or behind the line of scrimmage angles here to show what the Broncos are doing with their run game, because it seemed like they started to show that a lot more, and we got a good view as fans how we saw all that movement of the Broncos O-line, and we saw all the pulling, and we saw Bowles, and we saw Reisner doing all that. That's what you're talking about.
So yeah, I will push down to the truck all the time. Go, give me a tight shot on the fullback. Give me a tight shot on the tight end. Give me a tight, what, like if something goes on that's really good, I like, hey, like, man, I want to get tight, I want a replay of the tight shot of the fullback or the tight shot of the running back picking up this blitz before we get to the receiving, the routes and the route combination. Yeah.
So, well, I'm just going to tell you, I think I'm speaking for all the fans out there. I'd like to see more shots like that, like you see on the coach's film, because when it's, I just think it's a better view. I think there was one game last year. I don't know what happened, but like they had some kind of issue and the whole game was shown that way from behind the line of scrimmage. And I thought it was a great view.
Oh, I think it was the game where they did like a ton of the game on the Skycam.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
I love that.
But you've got to understand there's Skycam is only in, there are a couple crews that get Skycam. Like for us on a weekend, there may be six games going on. There's only one game that's going on that has Skycam. So there's only, like, you don't get, like, the A crew gets, you know, they may get, you know, 15, 16, 20 cameras, where the rest of us get 12 cameras or sometimes 8 cameras. So that you're limited on some of the looks.
The NFL is a $1 billion-a-year business. TV networks spend billions of dollars. You're telling me every crew can't have a Skycam?
Yes. I'm telling you that every
crew. It's that expensive?
I'm telling you that every crew doesn't have, well, it comes with technology and, you know, it comes with there's a lot of other things that go with it. So they only have a couple of Skycams. Each network has one, maybe two Skycams. I don't know come on. I don't know exactly how it works. I just know that sometimes we have a Skycam. Most of the time we don't.
We got to get to something very important here because we've got today and tomorrow to figure out the phrase that pays.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because every time you do a Bronco game,
right,
you give a shout out just for our listeners.
Yes.
Massive TV broadcast, sometimes going out to the whole nation or a good chunk of the nation. You will take time to give a nod to our great listeners with just a phrase that pays.
The Vandal crew, when I did the Seattle San Francisco game, the Vandal crew gave me a phrase that pays that I had to say during the broadcast.
What was that?
Baloney patch.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That was from your crew? I remember that line.
Yeah.
That was from your
Vandal crew. Yeah.
That was a shout out to them.
Yeah, baloney patch. They go, you can't work in baloney patch. Like, how random is baloney patch, right?
I was like,
of course I can work in baloney patch. It's easy. They're like, there's no way you can get baloney patch into
How did you do it? Give me context.
Well, I mean, they ran a tight inside zone play. And I said, hey, back in my Vandal days, we used to call that running in the baloney patch. Right?
Awesome.
I mean, I go, forget about all those deli meats, those fancy deli meats that are on the outside. You know, the sliced turkey and the roast beef and all that. No, that's down in the baloney. That's two pieces of Wonder Bread with a piece of baloney right in the middle of it. Like, that's what, yeah.
Oh, the Vandal crew must have loved that.
Oh, and I was doing, at the time I was doing the game, that particular day I was doing the game with Chris Myers. And so Chris Myers is like, I have the baloney patch. Like Chris Myers is throwing baloney. And my Vandal crews are texting me. I got a million texts going, not only did you say baloney patch, you got Chris Myers to say baloney patch.
Oh, yeah. So when you did the Bronco game earlier this year, you got in a Paxton Lynch smear campaign. You extended the Paxton Lynch smear campaign.
I did.
You know what? Just the fact that you did that, I think, qualifies for extending the smear campaign today. Just a reminder.
Yeah. That was big in the shows. You know, all of you are obviously part of the show. That was big.
That was huge. So I think that works. So now the question is, what do you do this week? So we need your help on the RamosLive.com text line, 303-713-1043. Mark's special shout out to all of you.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Are you bleeding?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Nosebleed.
We got a bleeder!
Yeah, buddy.
Oh, boy. Hold on.
You can't hold your mud. You're a bleeder.
I can't.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
I love this shoot.
Nobody!
Shoot, man. Shoot nose.
There we go.
Right. You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
I got a little nose plug in, people.
No. So what do we got? We gotta do something.
I broke my back. Spinal.
Can I make a recommendation?
Okay. Well, Scott. Hey, Scott. Thanks for bringing me sandpaper to cover my nose. Scott brought me paper towel. It's the hardest, coarsest. You got a bloody nose?
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Make it worse.
Yeah.
Here's some paper.
Remember when you were in elementary school? You would get that sandpaper. Paper towel.
Yeah.
And you'd try to blow your nose with it. And you're right. You just scratch up your nose would start to bleed.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Then
stuff.
You got two.
And just beat the devil out of them.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. I want you to try to get in to linger.
To linger?
To the broadcast.
To linger.
Really? That's the one.
Well, let it linger.
But you gotta really, really sell it.
To linger.
To linger. And then he took a sledgehammer.
Do I have to get or to linger, or can I just get a form of linger?
You gotta get to linger.
To linger.
Or pitchforks and lanterns.
Pitchforks and lanterns.
Okay.
Yeah.
That should be easy to do.
Sure.
You know, start talking about the quarterback controversies in Denver and, you know, people starting to dial up the heat on John Elway, and pretty soon you get a pitchforks and lanterns in there.
Yeah.
All right.
I like it. To linger. I just wonder what, how do you get to linger in there?
Hey, well, that's, you got bologna patch in there, so.
I did get bologna patch.
Yeah. So, all right. We'll take your suggestion.
To linger.
On the Ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. And away we go. Your assessment of Drew Lock after breaking everything down. I think what we're all looking for is some evidence that he's progressing and not regressing. I thought he played okay the other day, and it's more a reflection of how low the bar has been set with him that I actually thought he played after the interception early and starting 0-for-6. I thought he played pretty well, made some good throws, had a couple good scrambles, avoided costly mistakes. I thought he played better. In what ways did you see evidence of that? Did you?
Yeah, no.
I hope you saw some.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw third downs where not only did he complete some third downs, and he threw some really good balls on third down. He had one early to KJ Hamler on a third down and 10 over the middle of the football field that he just drove it. So that was, and it was really tight coverage. I mean, I was surprised it got in there. I thought it would be broken up. So there was a couple of those, a couple throws there that were good. You know, there was a couple of scrambles. There was a third down and 13 in that game that he scrambled and created a first down. That was a big play, big momentum swing for them. So I thought he showed some poise in his third down, in his third down game. So, I mean, those things to me were really good. I don't know what he went third down wise.
It was only 4-14.
Yeah. Okay. 4-14.
Seemed like he hit a couple early on though. Started off strong.
Yeah, well, some of them, there were some third down and nines later in the game that they just ran power on, 16 power. So I've got, I've got a counter here on third down and 7, a power on third down, because they were just, they had a 10-point lead, and they were playing the 4-minute offense, right? So they had a conversion on a third down and 8 that was a PI and a late hit on that one. You know, there were some good things that were done. Hit a third down and 7, hit an X drift on third down and 7 that was a nicely thrown ball number 10, why am I losing?
Judy.
Yeah, Jerry Judy. It was a nicely thrown ball. So, here's another third down and 9 that they ran a power. So there's a couple of third down and longs where they just basically said, we're okay punting. Our defense is playing so well right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, that 4-14, there's three plays I just gave you on on third down where they just said, we're not gonna chance it. So, you know, that to me says that one, you know, we're not gonna put our quarterback in a position to throw another pick. So it's some people would say, well, why are you doing that? And I would say that's managing your quarterback,
mm-hmm.
managing the expectations. That's like saying, hey, we know that you have a propensity in these situations to go blind, right? Or use bad mechanics and throw one to the other team. We're not going to let you cost us this game. We're playing so good on the defensive side of the ball. I'm okay with that. That's part of the growing pains of a young quarterback.
But when you look at the biggest criticisms of him,
mm-hmm.
mechanics, perceiving pressure, reading defenses.
Yeah.
Locking on his first guy, first read.
Yeah.
Orange striping.
Yeah.
Those areas. Did you see any improvement? I'm not saying all four, right. But did you see some?
Baby steps. I saw him work through progressions a little better. Yeah, I still saw him lock on at times, and there wasn't as much perceived pressure, but there was enough, you know, escape to the right on perceived pressure where, you know, you're throwing incompletions, but at least you're not throwing interceptions. And then, you know, breakdowns and mechanics, you know, that throw over to Van Nett that just sailed over his head that was wide, like it probably would have been a touchdown.
I think that was Fumagalli.
Oh yeah, Fumagalli. I think you're right, Fumagalli. But
doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean he's wide open.
Total power leak,
right? And missailed it. So yeah, there's still those mistakes. But like I said, I thought one, he was better. Two, I thought the coaching staff mm-hmm. was better. And that to me is, you know, it's funny because when I'm critical here, you know, people get mad at me. The difference in fan bases. I got nothing but praise from Eagle fans doing that Eagles-Cleveland game that I did last week, and I ripped the Eagles. Ripped their play calling, their decision-making.
Wow, you're talking about a totally different fan base.
Right. I mean, they...
Really, you're talking about, out of all the East Coast fan bases,
right.
That might be the fan base that hates their team the most.
Yes, you're 100% right.
I mean, seriously... Nobody hates the Eagles more than Eagles fans.
Yeah, they definitely, and they're so angry right now.
Right.
But
they love being angry. They love being angry.
Right. But like I said, when I did the Raiders and they didn't play well, the Raider fan was so butthurt about
wow,
it. It was unbelievable.
Wow.
It was unbelievable. But Philly fan is like, they just, you want to talk about pitchforks and lance.
Yeah. They're like, give me more.
Yeah. Sledgehammer.
They bathe in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
he put his pitchfork down, and he grabbed his sledgehammer, and he said, hey, you want some of this? Yeah.
Yeah, you can't compare Bronco fan with Eagle fan.
No, but I'm just saying, like, honest assessment, they want it, they want it straight, no chaser. Like, give it to me straight. Like, now, if they're really good and you're critical of them, then they'll be mad because they'll be protective of their Eagles. But
when they're bad.
When they're bad, boy, I tell you what, they just wanted to have it was a free-for-all. Yeah, give it to us.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Jackie C. says, the phrase that pays should be, say the full Ferguson.
Go the full Ferguson.
Can you get a full Ferguson in on the... That would probably require some explanation. That's...
Yeah, is there any guy named Ferguson?
Right.
In this game? I don't think there's any guy named
Ferguson. That'd be a tough
Ferguson.
One. That'd be a tough one.
Yeah. Go the full Ferguson.
I do like that, though. That's
good. That is good.
That's good. Somebody said, you got to put 53 counter in. You got to include 53 counter in the broadcast.
53
counter. For the texter who said, Mark, I was studying the film. Come on. The run game was just 53 counter.
Yeah.
Mark's like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as 53 counter.
I mean, everybody has a different numbering system, Mike. But I've never heard 53 counter.
No.
I've never heard of 53.
So you saw some improvement with Locke. That's That's where we're at right now, because as we move forward, each week there's a new where you stand, right?
Yeah.
Every week, where you stand. Can this be the guy? Is he not the guy? And I would hope that most clear-thinking people are saying, hey, when we get to the end of the season, that's when I'll make my final evaluation, but I'm open to being won over or further discouraged by what happens over the next 6 weeks or so. But for me, all I'm looking for now is you showed, I think he stopped the regression the other day. And he was a little bit better than the regression we had seen the last couple of weeks.
Right.
Now I got to start to see it. He's got to start to stack. He's got to start to build.
Okay, but
you can't have any regression
right
from this point forward.
Okay, but was the regression because he got better, or was the regression because the coaching got better?
Ooh.
The coaching staff got better. That is a better game plan. I would say it was more about not Locke getting that much better. I would say it was more about the way they called the game was that much better for Locke to be successful.
All right, I see what you're saying, but there's still, it still comes down to he shouldn't be throwing the ball 40 times. But even if the game plan is better and he's only throwing it 30 times, for example,
mm-hmm.
I still want to know what those 30 throws look like.
Right.
Because while he was throwing the ball too many times those previous four games, when he was throwing it, you saw the problems. You saw the weaknesses.
Right.
You saw the mechanical issues. You saw the decision making. So even in those lesser amount of throws that he had the other day, you still saw him. Those deficiencies.
Yeah.
So I agree for the overall look of the offense, they called a better game for the offense and for him.
Yeah.
But it still comes down to, within all that, your assessment of him.
Right. Well, we you and I talked about this yesterday on the show, and I talked about it. I was on Channel 4 with Michael Spencer last night doing his show. And
God, you are such a TV.
I mean, when friends call and need help, Mike, I'm there.
Like, you're like a moth drawn to light.
If you called me up and said, hey, I need some help illegally disposing garbage in my neighborhood, I mean, I'd be there for you.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm just saying.
What is that? That's a total hypothetical.
Right. A total, complete hypothetical.
Total hypothetical.
If you needed some help in the
right
cloak of darkness,
right, sure.
I would be there for you.
You would be there, right. you hot snot.
Man, it's like Michael Jackson. Yamo be there, baby. Yamo be there. But.
Isn't that Michael Malone, too?
Yeah, maybe it is Michael Malone.
I think it's Yamo Michael Malone.
Yamo be there. Michael up Malone. And over. Yeah, it is Michael Malone. Thank you. What were we talking about? But even that, and we talked about it on Channel 4. We talked about it yesterday, Mike. Even if Drew Locke improves dramatically over the last half of the season, he's still, within a dramatic improvement, he's still the fourth best quarterback in this division. And you cannot consistently win your division.
No.
With the fourth best quarterback.
No, but if you can point to clear progression and clear improvement, I'll still be okay with him being the fourth best quarterback, but with the understanding that that can change, that that can improve. And I can point to these last six or seven games as an example of that.
Right.
There was no way. Maybe you are saying, are you saying that you thought that we could come out of this season with the strong feeling that Locke was at least the third or second best quarterback in the division? Is that what your goal was?
My hope would be that you could elevate yourself to be in the conversation of, hey, you know, we're nipping at, we'll be, you know, with more experience, you know, another year or two of experience, we could be nipping at Derek Carr's shoes for the second best quarterback. But I think you are a long way
but you
away.
But nobody saw Herbert doing this.
No, I mean, certainly not. I mean, I try to go by the philosophies. I hate everybody in the draft. That way, if any guy pans out, then I'm like, I was wrong there. But, you know, 60% of the guys, you know, 50% of them are busts. The other there's another 20% that are just not that good as first rounders. So, you know, like, it's a 70-30 deal. If I say I hate everybody, 70% of the time, I'm right.
Coming up next, if the Broncos truly did something fresh and innovative in the run game on Sunday, can they carry it over this week against the Saints? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com. HMotors.com.
A blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you.
I don't know if we've accomplished anything today. I honestly don't think we have, but if there's one thing is we've discovered the greatness of William Shatner doing
it. Yeah.
And I did not know this, but apparently... Apparently put out multiple albums.
Hey, with a voice like that, why wouldn't you?
Well, exactly, right? But he put out a whole album where he doesn't sing.
Yeah.
He just does Shatner.
That's classic.
Genius. That's genius.
It is genius.
That's not classic. That's just genius.
Right.
So anyway, we decided to give it a go.
Mm-hmm.
I have a speech pattern sometimes that is Shatner-esque.
Right.
And you, of course, are Professor Zeus.
Yes.
So we decided to Last Christmas by Wham to see if we could do our own version.
Right.
Where we don't have to sing.
Yeah.
And who knows? We might be onto something here. So here's a little sample.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, Michael.
But the very next day... You gave it away.
This year, to save me from tears,
I'll give it to someone special.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
But the very next day, you gave it away.
This year, to save me from tears,
I'll give it to someone special.
Beautiful.
You start singing, Zeus.
Yeah.
I did start singing, Zeus. Zeus got caught up in the moment and started to sing.
I did. I was like, I'm selling it. I was like, yeah, man, I'm in.
I'm feeling it.
I do. I felt it. I think it was pretty good. I really do.
If we're doing this today, what's tomorrow going to be like? Buckle in, folks.
Oh, no.
Buckle up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buckle up. What the Broncos did... Running the football. I'm finding this fascinating. This is something you have lived running the football as from college through the pros,
mm-hmm.
as an analyst. So you've basically seen everything there is when it comes to running the football in the NFL, and you've talked about it and done it for the last 30 years, right? And yet what the Broncos did on Sunday, you're having a hard time putting a label on, which I think is awesome,
right.
which is cool, which also adds a little something to the conversation you had with John Harbaugh last year, where he said, when they were doing all these things with Lamar Jackson, he said, hey, the nothing is new in the passing game.
Right.
And nothing is new in the passing game, but there are elements to what you can do with the running game that have not yet been explored. But the idea that the Broncos dusted off something from the 60s,
yeah,
that is so cool. That is so right. Fascinating.
But I've seen teams do that before. I saw a couple years ago, it was last year, talking to Matt Nagy doing a Chicago game where they dusted off a play from like 1934 on the goal line that they ran. So
yeah, like, Chiefs did something like that in the Super Bowl
right.
last year.
Yeah, so
Mahomes ran it. He ran it.
I mean, it
so
takes
well.
Volumes to this team, and like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena. You think one day we could get through an entire show without really propping up?
I know.
the Chiefs. As much as I don't like it, this song makes me happy.
It does.
But yeah, so you see concepts that haven't been run in a long time that you'll go back and say, man, this is a good concept. Let's go back to this.
But that was like a game plan.
Yeah. I mean, it's just this. It was, to be sure, it was interesting. And again, I don't know how to, there's like two separate concepts. There's a front side concept and part of bringing the backside with you. This is what the Ravens do so well is they get, like if you split the field in half, right, with an 11 man defense, you split the field in half, you're trying to be pretty balanced for the most part, right? So let's say you have a single high safety. If you're in some type of 8 man front, you want to have, you know, 5 guys on one side, 5 guys on the other side, and then you want the single high safety in the middle. So you want to be able to have kind of an even balance. So if you can pull offensive players to the opposite side quickly and outflank the defense, and now all of a sudden, instead of our, you know, 4 guys against your 5 guys, right? Or our 5 against your 5. Now all of a sudden we got 6 or 7 against your 5. And now we've got a favorable number count. We're just like, we're going to run outside so your backside guys can't constrict and can't get involved on the opposite side of the football field. So that's what the Ravens do really well. And that was part of their outside run game with multiple pullers that I just kind of found fascinating.
So who do you think came up with this? Who came up with the idea? Hey, I got an idea. Let's try to kickstart the running game by doing this.
That's a good question.
Is that a Fangio thing? Fangio's certainly been around a long time. Is that right. A Munchak thing? He's been around a long time. Shermer?
Yeah, I don't.
Are you going to try to find out this week? Who came up with that idea?
I can ask.
Do you have a? I'm just spitballing. Who do you think came up with that idea?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
pretty darn good.
Oh, yeah, sure. I'm sure that collectively in their staff meeting, they were like, hey man, we need to, you know, find a way to attack this defense that plays kind of oftentimes positionless. So it creates confusion. Like it's a real, to me, when you watch Miami, there's a lot of sifting through the guys because they're all over, like, no hands in the dirt, no distinct positions.
Well,
you know?
It caused enough of a confusion that Locke had to call a timeout.
Yeah.
On the second or third snap of the game.
I always call it kind of amoeba defense. You know, guys just floating around and then you got to zone them off. But, you know, for them, they were like, all right, we'll run some front side down blocks and double teams and see whoever comes to us, you know, gap wise, we'll just take that guy and then we'll kick out a guard and we'll pull two other guys from the backside and we'll sift through it. And get to the edge and a lot of the stuff on the backside, we don't even worry about blocking. Like it was like I said, there's a front side concept married with a backside concept. It's just things you don't see. Or
I know. I'm just kind of fascinated by the idea. Who sits down as they're tossing around ideas for a game plan and said, hey, listen, I was thinking about this. This is the way they used to run the football in the 60s. How about we try that this week?
Right.
I just find that. How an idea like that sort of germinates, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if that's a thing that you get into into a meeting and you say, man, we really need to get to the outside run, you know, and just trap all those guys on the inside because they're all floating around and it's hard to sift through them when you're running tight zone or tight gap and, even wide zone because guys just leak through or whatever. So
and then somebody says, "Oh yeah, that's kind of how they used to do it in the
60s." Yeah, they just kind of wash everything down on the front side and pull a bunch of backside players.
Jerry Kramer pulling for the Green Bay Packers and that kind of stuff, and then voila, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do it again? Can you do it again? I mean, it's out there, but can you come out and do it again?
Yeah, I think there's always some concepts you'd like to carry over and there's some opportunity to do it again. And there was good, like there was a lot of good, like front side, like a backside fake power, you know, fake power with a little boot action where you're either setting up like a play pass boot action where you're setting up over the front side tackle or you're breaking contain. And again, creating a half field read for your quarterback. I thought they did a good, I thought they, like game planning wise, I thought the coaching staff did a great job.
I want to give credit to a texter. Is it possible that Munchak may have brought that from his Pittsburgh days? Maybe there was a bit of a Pittsburgh influence. You talk about a team that's been doing things the same way for decades.
Munchak, maybe Munchak brings it from his days with the run and shoot stuff back in his Houston days when it was the Oilers. Back when he was dispensing justice for the old boy, he was a good player.
Yeah.
You want to talk about a good player? Man, Munchak was, well, he's a Hall of Famer, right? You know.
Dexter says, Evans, love the use of the word germinate. Good word. Kudos. Germinate today, bereft yesterday.
Yeah.
You can use those if you want in the broadcast.
Germinate.
Germinate or bereft.
Yeah.
Try it. Okay. I am being compared to somebody's ex-wife with something I just said. You're curious. Hmm. You're like, okay. See where that goes. We'll find out next. Well, apparently my childlike innocence, curiosity of what the Broncos did with their running game and the fact that Vic Fangio said, yeah, there were elements of something that should be done in the 60s. Apparently that did not go over well with one of our listeners. My curiosity, my genuine interest in it, right?
Why?
Texter says, Evans, you're worse than my ex-wife. Instead of concentrating on what happened and the fact that it works, you want to know who brought it up, like it matters. Wow. Like Debbie Downer there.
Who gets the credit? Who doesn't?
I don't know. I guess it's just me. I just think that something that somebody like you says, I really don't know how to label this.
Right.
I haven't seen anything like this that I can clearly put it in a box and label it. I find that interesting. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, don't apologize.
I'm sorry that I have a curious mind.
No, it was interesting, and it is one of those things. I mean, but you know, again, you want to know who gets the credit. And
No, not necessarily credit. I'm curious how something like that gets pitched.
How
it evolves. How it becomes the game plan.
Right. What was the catalytic moment that you said, let's do this?
Yes.
I find that fascinating.
I'm a football fan. I like to know how the sausage is made.
You are the sausage.
See what I did there?
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that, Mike. I think it's fascinating when you start kind of going, okay, how did we come about? Like, one of the things I've talked to several coaches about as, you know, I do my prep stuff and as I was getting ready for this season is, like, from a game planning standpoint, like, how do you game plan? I had one coordinator tell me, hey, listen, man, I want to know what a person is or what a team is in base. And he goes, base to me is first and 10 and second down and 5-. That's base. What are you in your base? What are you running? What fronts do you run? What coverage do you run with that? What kind of blitz, you know, what kind of dogs and blitzes do you bring? All right. And then, you know, and then I want to know what you are in sub, second down and 6 or 7+, third down and 6 and 7+, right? And, you know, I find that kind of stuff. And then third downs kind of run their own, third and medium, third and shorts run their own kind of course. But like that stuff is kind of fascinating when you start looking at, okay, this is what this team is. So here's what we can expect them to do in these situations. You know, one thing that I will tell you, just watching Vic Fangio, watching the defensive tape, how much pressure they bring on first down. Like watching them on first down in this particular game against Miami, they brought pressure a bunch. Now some of it was zone pressure, so they'll bring pressure from one side and drop somebody in zone on the other side, like drop a Bradley Chubb underneath a slot receiver away from the pressure. You know, to get some type, but it's a zone, like take away your quick, easy answer if that's your hot read type of thing, right? So But the amount of pressure, the amount of dogs and zone blitz stuff that they bring on first down, it's kind of fascinating.
You know why that makes sense? You know why that makes sense?
Why is that?
Because you've seen it with your own eyes how much your offense struggles on first down.
Right.
You've seen how much your offense struggles when they're put into second and long.
Mm-hmm. So let's do this.
Let's try to do that to the other
guy. And to me, that's a form of let's steal it down. Like, can we steal it down early? If we can put you in third down and long, it means we're more likely than not going to get off the football field. Because what's your conversion rate in third down for the Broncos? Third and long is probably, 20. The third down and long is, the teams in kind of the 18 to 24 range, they're like 22%, 24%, 26%, that they get converted on. So 70 whatever percent of the time they're off the field. So, I mean, those odds are pretty good third down and long, right? Third down and long gives you the opportunity to play a tight man, disrupt routes and get after the quarterback, or you can play zone and make you drop off and make you throw it. You just play sticks, whatever you want to play. They call it sticks and then make you throw it underneath, rally up, make a tackle and get off the field. Third down and 10. And I don't care if we give up 8 yards. That doesn't matter to me. It's about getting off the football field. So yeah, you steal a possession. The next thing you know, your offense gets, instead of 12 possessions, they get 13, or because they get so many three and outs, instead of 10 possessions, they get 13. Well, my odds of scoring just dramatically increase if I get two extra possessions. That's how coaches think.
So you'll be doing more film study today.
Yes, I will.
So I can't wait for more of your observations of the Broncos from doing deep film study.
I'm going to get into some New Orleans stuff today as well.
Yeah, and Taysom Hill. I want to get your thoughts on.
Well, I got to look at Taysom Hill and see exactly kind of how the difference between Taysom Hill as a package guy and Taysom Hill as a starting quarterback. And I'm sure there's some package stuff involved in the midst of the starting quarterback stuff. So that's going to be fascinating as well. I got a full day of shoveling, film study.
Big day ahead of you.
You know what, big fella? You just take a nap. Do you nap in your bed?
Yes.
Or do you nap on like the couch?
No.
No, I can't go to my bed to nap.
Unless I'm
like legitimately sick.
No, dude. I mean, I close the blinds. I get under the covers. I put the fan on. Oh no, I'm out. Like I said,
Do you take your pants off? You get in your underpants to nap?
Yes. I do.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, pants come off.
I cannot take my pants off the nap.
Usually what I'll do is I'll leave my top on, like when I'm wearing my
towel.
But I'll take the pants off. And then I nap.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a Hall of Fame napper.
I will doze on the couch or get on the floor with my feet up on the couch and take a little 20-minute siesta.
I don't know what I'm greater at. Napping or buffets?
Buffet crushing?
Yeah.
Or napping?
To linger.
I don't know what I'm... So tomorrow, folks, is a big show because it's our last show before you call the game on Sunday.
Right.
So we have to zero in on our...
Phrase that pays. I don't think we did a great job today with the phrase that pays.
Here are the leaders in the clubhouse.
Okay, you keep a track.
I'm keeping track, and this is just kind of a loose... I just kind of wrote down a handful that jumped out at me, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But understanding that we'll try to improve upon them for tomorrow. But here's what we got. This is a phrase that we want Mark to use during the broadcast that's just a nod to you listeners. All right? There's
to linger.
To linger.
Okay. Sausage fingers.
But sausage fingers or just sausage?
Or just
the sausage reference.
Sausage.
Anything. They shovel it into the sausage!
Yeah. Anything sausage.
Okay.
Okay. GB zone.
You know my zone is GB zone.
The GB zone.
Okay. Or can't hold your mud.
Can't hold your mud.
You can't hold your mud. You're a bleeder.
That's a great, can't hold your mud.
That's a good one.
Classic show line right there.
All right. So that's the leader right now. Can't hold your mud is the leader for the phrase that pays during the broadcast, but we'll certainly leave it open tomorrow to add.
All right.
Okay. Enjoy your film study. Enjoy your napping. Enjoy your shoveling. Please drive safe, everybody. We turn things over to Sandy and the Big O next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.